AI Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good day, everyone. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. This is LB Bork. I'm the host. And today with us, we got John Breeson. How you doing, John?
Doing well, Mr. Bork. How you doing this afternoon?
It is this afternoon for you.
I was about to say this morning.
Yeah. It's the morning here yet. You got, what, 2 minutes afternoon? Something like that.
Yeah. It's just one of those days, you know.
Yep. I know you had a busy week. You had some family issues to deal with. I stay away from people as much as possible. You know, it's just works easier that way. I'd love to love them, but, you know, I've been talking about what's going on for 20 years, and I had a remedy and a path to follow, and people ignored it. And they started listening to these political people. I don't know. How long have you been in this?
As far as how long have I been?
Truth, awake? Looking for truth. Yeah, awake, whatever.
Since 2008.
2008. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's when the crash happened. So did you look at 9/11 as an issue, or were you too young then?
I remember when 9/11 happened. I was a neoconservative at the time. I was raised by my grandfather's politics, even though my father was a little bit left. He was an old school Democrat, kind of like JFK. I was sitting in class, and we had huts, like these little trailers. School overcrowding is real down here in the South. It came over the intercom that we had been attacked on the morning of 9/11, and then I was in my history teacher's class, Mr. Autry. And he rolled in a television set because they had old television sets, like cathode ray CRT sets back in the day. And turned on the television. We were watching the news, and I was just like, I can't believe that, you know, that they, you know, this would happen, you know. And then later they blamed Al Qaeda and Osama bin Laden for the attacks. And of course I believe at the time I was listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, you know. I didn't know better. and so, you know, I was all, yeah, you know. So my dad was actually for war in Afghanistan, even though he kind of questioned it. But by the time it got to Iraq, my dad was like, no, this is stupid. Like, he was like, that's just Bush going after for his papa failing. You know, and of course I was like, Dad, you know, because my dad was a conspiracy theorist, Mr. Bork. We used to watch X-Files together growing up, and he used to talk about, even though my dad did like Bill Clinton some, he still knew that the Clintons had like the Clinton death count. He would just always say, well, the economy was good during the Clinton years, and for whatever reason, it kind of was, because I remember back then you could buy a grocery cart full of groceries. You know, you could fill your whole grocery cart full of groceries for about $100 back then when I was a kid. Now, you know, it costs like what? Like for a family, like double or triple that, you know?
Right.
So, but, you know, he used to talk about the JFK assassination a lot, and my dad did. the moon landing and inconsistencies with that, and I would just blow them off. We used to listen to Coast AM sometimes together. And so one evening in 2008, it was in December, I was up late and Coast to Coast AM was on. And I decided to listen to it because I used to listen to it with my dad. And most of the time, you know, Coast to Coast AM would have aliens. They talk about aliens or paranormal stuff. But this time, Alex Jones happened to be on. And he started to break down why 9/11 was an inside job. And I was like, and this is back before Alex Jones now says that David Horowitz, Council for National Policy member David Horowitz, aren't Zionist from the Horowitz Freedom Center, convinced Alex Jones that it was just the Saudi Arabian hijackers with the box cutters, you know, and Mohammed Atwa. And it was Al Qaeda's involvement. And that's what Alex Jones actually says now, actually gives the conventional line. Well, back then, he used to discuss how Bush and Cheney were involved and how London was involved. And every now and then, every once in a blue moon, he would talk about Israel's involvement. That doesn't even come out of his mouth now. All right. And so that made me look into it. And when I looked into it, I couldn't – he was right. I couldn't disprove anything he was saying. And it made me realize that the government was corrupt and that they were lying to us. And I have to thank Alex Jones for that. I mean, Alex Jones is a Council for National Policy shield. Don't get me wrong. But he did wake me up. And back then, he wasn't as brazen with it. Even though if you go back and look, you could still tell. He promoted WorldNet Daily. Promoted Drudge. I looked at Internet Wayback Machine, Mr. Bork, at his website back in 1999, and he still was promoting all those CMP people and all their news outlets and everything. But it wasn't – back then he was at least saying the right-left paradigm was bull crap, and it doesn't matter who – it wasn't the government. They're against us. And now, you know, he's 100% full for Trump, you know?
Right.
So it's – it was just interesting of how he changed. And even – Alex Jones's ex-wife, Kelly Jones, she said the same thing about Alex Jones, and that he used to be kind of like, you know, they're all corrupt, to now Trump's not corrupt and the Republicans aren't corrupt. And it's interesting that he did change. I mean, did you see where Alex Jones a couple of years ago, Mr. Bork, said that he was wrong about the FEMA camps and wrong about Rex 84, and that Ronald Wilson Reagan and Oliver North were good guys, and they were trying to, and Iran Contra was to try to save the world from globalists because they want to destabilize Latin America and flood us with illegal immigrants. Did you ever see that clip of him walking on that?
No, I didn't. I stopped listening to Jones. I don't know, soon after Obama took office, and that's about the same time you came in. To, you know, learning about more than just, you know, the surface things, it sounds like. So, I don't listen to too many people. I've had the stance for People's Awareness Coalition of let's forget about what they're doing. Let's do what we need to do, you know, but no one wants to get into that. We can talk about that today, but continue on what you were talking about for now.
So when did you wake up, sir?
I think it was like when I was 4 years old, believe it or not. I just thought the Illuminati thing was creepy. And, you know, when I was looking through the money, when I was little, and kind of couched it, you know, I questioned my parents on the Santa Claus issue. So they had to tell me at about age five that there was no Santa Claus. Because I had too many scientific questions that, you know, things that just didn't make sense. So they couldn't answer them. So they told me there was no Santa Claus after I questioned it. So I think I've been onto this stuff all my life, but I pretty much ignored it. And I would say when Clinton's came about is when I really started to wake up. You know, things really started to happen in the early 1990s. And I smelled a rat at that time. And I couldn't sit on the fence anymore, you know, or on the other side of the fence, actually, because I really didn't pay attention to politics at all. I just lived my life as best I could. So I guess that's my story in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's interesting because once you see it, you can't go back. I mean, they can trick right. you on certain things. I mean, I voted for Trump and I deeply regret it. Now I'm not voting ever again. The elections are rigged at a high of a level. Now you can yeah. vote for maybe local, you know, your local, if your city's small enough, like if it's Atlanta, good luck. But, you know, if your city's small enough, you got a small town, you know, then yeah, mm-hmm. voting, you know, people in your local elections, that might matter. Don't get me wrong about that. But to think that on a federal level that your senators or your presidents aren't picked or governors. Yeah,
yeah, they're all bought and paid for, as they say, or as it said. You know my issue on voting. It's it was rigged back during the Civil War. Basically, this, you know, the 14th Amendment wasn't lawfully ratified. It violated Section Article 5, rather, of the Constitution. And there's a variance in language. You can see it between the 13th Amendment and the actions of the 14th. The 13th Amendment basically was, it says their jurisdiction in there, that which means the several states are in power. Then after that, you'll see that the federal government's in power. So the several states are no longer the sovereign entities that they were. And to get people to play into it, they had to get them to rebel. And it says it right in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment that the right to vote is denied except for participation in rebellion. So, you know, people ask me, well, you know, why do you call all this stuff Marxist or communist? And I go, well, that's when all this started, you know. Everything that falls under this, these labels they came up with, conservative and liberal and all these things that fit into this political system are all communist. And that's when they started the world communism, you know. So
yeah.
It's just you're right about local voting. And if people really wanted to wake up and do the rule of law instead of listening to politics, they could fix this, but they don't want to. They're to the point now, I think they want to pick up guns and start killing people, which, but, you know, I tried to stop for the last 20 plus years because I knew it was coming.
They've co-opted the term rule of law because most people, when they think of the term rule of law, it goes back to Nixon and, you know, I'm going to uphold law and order, you know, and so when you really think about that now, the way they use rule of law, they've kind of perverted into to making it the rule of whose law? Well, the totalitarian law, the New World Order
right.
law, you know, well, I mean, that's
been
really
that way
come.
Since that's my point. It's been that way since the Civil War. The agencies are all part and parcel of the communist system. There were no agencies to speak of before the 14th Amendment was put in place. And they went into equity law, too. And England, for example, I haven't done a lot of research on what they've done in other countries. Like England, for example, they went to they call it chancery law. Over here, it's equity law. They went from like a common law system, you know, the rule of people over to the rule of the judges, so to speak, or the government. So. I don't know what they have done in Canada to do the overlay, but they went from the rule of law to what you're speaking of back, you know, 150 years ago. So they're not following the law anymore. It's more the you know, dictates of totalitarianism, and it's been subtle up until now. Now they're doing the communism in America was installed over 50 years ago in its completion. As far as the planks of the Communist Manifesto. But what we're seeing now is Marxism. They're trying to maintain what they've already established. So that's what all this chaos is about. They're just doing stupid things to confuse the issues so they can continue on what they already established. That's my story.
Yeah.
That's my research.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that we're seeing going on today when Trump said at the Tulsa rally that he wasn't going to allow these protests and riots to simmer. You know, there wasn't going to be anything that was going to be done. And I mean, people could protest peacefully, you know, they have the right to do so, you know, the freedom of assembly. You know, it's very interesting that the left is perfectly okay with, you know, Black Lives Matter going out there and protest. But when the right was protesting, and I understand, it's, you know, there's astroturfing with a lot of it and all of it's being steered. But when the right was out there protesting about the totalitarianism of the lockdowns, the left was hating on that. You know, and that's what it's all this is designed for is, you know, the Black Lives Matter. Yeah, they're puppeteered by Soros and Cher Blue. But the rights that were doing the liberate protests were being puppeteered by the Kochs, the Mercers and the DeVos family. So, you know, a lot of this is just to sow division and to balkanize us as much as they possibly can. So that we're so divided and so at each other's throats that we can't do anything as the union is going up in flames.
Right. Right. Did you, I forwarded something that someone forwarded to me and they told me that, you know, Patrice Cullors of, Black Lives Matter.
Not offhand, like one of the
Patrice
founders.
Maybe I'm mispronouncing that.
One of the founding women.
Yes, she said they're trained Marxist.
Yeah,
which,
I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
Trying to think, Martin Luther King was too. I think wasn't he a trained Marxist?
Yeah, even though they say he's a Republican, he had a lot of communist ideals and was around that Bolshevik faction. Martin Luther King Jr. was. They were whispering a lot in his ear. I think that's, you know, they did kill Martin Luther King, but I think it may have been, some people say it's because he was anti-government, but I'm thinking it depends on what those FBI files come out and say. Because one of his friends, who was a pastor, said that Martin Luther King Jr. Was just like he had numerous affairs and allegedly was possibly raping women too and everything. So that stuff comes on the FBI files. They may have killed him just because they couldn't control him as far as, you know, he was going to out himself. Where I do think that they really did kill Malcolm X. Who I think was a true leader for the African Americans.
Right.
I think
right.
They killed him because he was trying to strengthen their culture and call for peace between all the races. And they couldn't have that. They wanted to have him as a divider and they took him out. That's my belief. I could be wrong about MLK. It could be a possibility they took him out because he was honest and anti-government. Like they said, we'll have time. We'll tell when those documents come out. But, it's just interesting of how anytime there's a genuine person who tries to come out to help their race, no matter who it is, they end up getting killed or marginalized because the world order doesn't want us to advocate for ourselves and doesn't want us to be united against them, the whole 99 versus the 1%, even though you can kind of look at that as a Marxist phrasing, but there is some truth to that because they are the ones at the top and they are the ones that are controlling everything. And I would say that Occupy Wall Street was co-opted just as much or started from the very beginning to trap earnest progressives in, just like the Tea Party was to trap earnest conservatives.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's what you specialize in. I commend you on that because I really haven't looked into some of these organizations. You go back probably even further than John Birch. You discovered that that's been a operation or, you know, operatives since day one, which I didn't even realize because I had never really researched them that much. You know, I find it odd. I got into an argument with someone this last week about Eustace Mullins. He talked a little bit about the Civil War, but he really didn't center on it enough for my likings, and that's when things really went bad. You know, as you know, Mike Gaddy and we have talked about the Constitution itself being questionable, which I agree with, but I stuck on the 14th Amendment because, as some people say, you know, you got to be pragmatic about what you're doing. So I chose the 14th Amendment based on it was obvious that things totally flipped there because of what happened. And the Constitution is a deeper subject, but as some people say, that we have that to work with. And one of my things I was taught by some of my mentors is you use their law against them. And that's I still do that to this day. And that's why I studied the 14th Amendment and found remedy there. There's remedy for us. But as we were speaking about all the program today, I wanted to kind of stick on the subject of, you know, rule of law and those who just do politics. And as I've seen over the past 25 years, when I got into this deep in the 1990s, law was very prevalent. You know, the militias were starting to form, which the Constitution basically shoots those down right away because they're controlled by the federal government totally. The only way they can do anything is if the governor allows it. And that's why they got away with the Civil War as much as they did, or they would have shut that down. And going back to what you were saying about Trump letting things simmer a little bit before they got involved, they technically can't go into the states under the Constitution, even the 14th, you know, the 14th Amendment's overwritten the Constitution in a lot of respects, but what they've done to deceive people is still follow it to a point. So technically the feds can't go in, or the president can't do anything until the governors ask them to come in. And that's the way the Constitution was written in the first place. So that's why they have to be careful not to spill the beans as much as they probably like to, but until they get rid of the Constitution as it's written. They have to play the game, so to speak, as I laid out in my book, The Red Amendment. But, yeah, it's very sad what's happened. People just follow politics now, and social media is really
even then they don't solidify it. They don't follow they follow politics but not parapolitics, you know, what's really going on behind the scenes instead of that right-left division nonsense that they follow, you know?
Right. Well, that's all planned. You know, I don't even know if Twitter was geared for politics when it came out, but it sure took it over, didn't it? Politics.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these social platforms turned to something that they weren't originally designed for. Maybe they were designed for this all along, and they took that into accountability. You know, who knows?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I was hoping maybe you could shed some light on that because Twitter really has taken over. Politics totally, and of course Trump's in there that a lot of people don't like doing tweets all the time, but yeah, he's an anomaly for sure.
At least sometimes with Trump's tweets are funny, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I mean, I will say this, at least with Trump you got entertainment. If anything with Trump, at least is that. No, but I mean, you have so many operatives using Twitter, do you not? I mean, Jack Posobiec, Mike Cernovich, Ali Alexander, Jordan Sather, Bill Mitchell. I've never seen a Fed poster in my life. It's Bill Mitchell from Your Voice.
Oh, right.
I mean, they're out there, and you know, a lot of their views, a lot of their likes and a lot of their retweets are bot driven.
Yeah, that's a lot of the problem.
Are being pushed by Russia, you know, and I said the dirty word Russia. Ooh, you know, both sides are involved with Russia, both the liberals and the Republicans. Doesn't matter who they were. That's why the Russia collusion was a limited hangout. Because they're both up to their knees and being with Vladimir Putin and selling out their own country. So, and I don't necessarily blame Russia for that, because I blame our own politicians for selling us out. You know, it's, I mean, for them to go ahead and make themselves in bed with the devil, just like with China. Look at all that's happened with China. Yeah, I dislike the Communist Chinese Party, but who's really truly to blame? It's our leaders in the world order for selling out America and American citizens.
Well, I believe that Russia and America have been tied together for a long time myself.
Oh, yeah. The Cold War was a farce, was it not?
Yeah, the Cold War, yeah. It was set up. If you go back and look at the Russia Federation's flag or their emblem colors, they were red, white, and blue, just like America's were. I haven't made that connection yet in totality, but, you know, the symbolisms are very telling. So the Russian flag went to what I call Juan Blue in the last several years. I don't know what year they did that exactly, but it's now red, white, and light blue instead of the dark navy blue. But Russia's symbol was dark blue about 300 years ago. So there's a connection there. And I think it has to do with the Khazarian Jews, because that thread goes back 3,000 years, as far as I can see, through my research.
Yeah, but you can't leave out the mountain Jews either. They got a very strong presence in Russia. A lot of the Jewish oligarchs, there's Russian oligarchs and there's Russian Jewish oligarchs, you know, that are running Russia. A lot of them are Ashkenazi, but a lot of them are mountain Jews too, that no one ever talks about.
Right.
It's interesting. No one ever talks about the mountain Jewish oligarchs like Gavril Abramovich. And no one ever really talks about the Russian oligarchs. They only talk about the Ashkenazi oligarchs. It makes me really think, why aren't they talking about the other two really specifically? Or even the Turkish Russian oligarchs. They're really big too as well. No one ever mentions them. So,
I'm sure you'll find the bloodlines go all back to the Canaanites, which the so-called Israelites were supposed to destroy in Deuteronomy. And anyway, yeah, we got a break. John. This is Revolution Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes after these announcements. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Stay tuned.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. This is Revolution Radio, as the announcer said. Thanks, Hawk. Miss you, man. This is listener-supported radio. We could use your help if you'd go to the website at freedomslips.com. Or revolution.radio. You can find the donate button at the top of the page. There's also a store you can buy things from, t-shirts and such. And, you know, that would help out greatly. And advertise for the station. Would very much be appreciated. And there's also snail mail, which I prefer. Poor post office is dying. Bezos took it over a couple years ago. It's all being used for Amazon for the most part now, but that's the New World Order, you know. The profits in the hands of a few, that's the end game. And have all these little human resources running around with no property, just working for a living, like Huey Lewis said. Taking what they're given, because I'm working for a living. I think that was some of the lyrics. Anyway, got John Breeson with me today. Thanks for joining me, John. How are you after that break?
Doing good.
Did you get some wind? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm surviving down here in the hotbed of COVID, North Carolina.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? This COVID thing is. You know, I've talked to some of our people across the union. I like to say that because that's what it is. My whole thing is doing the law. We're talking about rule of law. It's a rule of international law. We can get into that if you want to. You can ask questions or whatever. But, yeah, today's topic is basically I want to talk about rule of law and those who just do politics. We're talking a bit about that today so we can get into details. But it's just terrible what they've done. The people I've talked to, they said, I can't even believe it. Yeah, they no holds barred here. You know, they went for everything. They're doing everything. I just can't believe, you know, what they've done. It's pathetic how they're destroying the American economy.
Yeah, it is.
With the COVID. What have you looked at in it? I surface look at things. I listen to Tim Pool quite a bit and Vince of Red Elephants. I watch his stuff. As you and I both know, they're kind of lost. But I think they get they got a handle on some things. I trust them more than I did Alex Jones, for example. I trust them more than Alex Jones. I never trusted him, especially when people would call in there and he'd sidestep them and they would want me on his program. And there's dozens of people that called in and he'd always say, no, I know all about the 14th Amendment, and we don't need to talk about that kind of thing, you know. So I don't think Tim and Vincent are that lost at this point, but you never know. What do you think about some of these people out there talking about politics in general?
I mean, I have friends who watch them both. I don't. I know you watch Tim Pool. I have a good friend who watches him, and he's like, yeah, Tim Pool's telling the truth. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get more truth out of him. And I guess I'm jaded, Mr. Bork, where I think most people are either don't want to look at certain things that we talk about, or maybe you're right. Maybe some of them just don't know. That's true. I've talked to people who just didn't know. And once I talked to them about the CMP or the right part of the world order or whatever, that they eventually looked into it and started talking about it themselves, you know? So I'm not going to hate on Temple or Vincent right. or anything, but it's just, I don't know. I guess I'm getting jaded because there's so many, makers of islands, I guess, as you would say. It's hard to determine, you know, whether or not someone is earnestly trying to seek for the truth, or if they're just either willfully ignorant or an operative or paid, you know? And so it gets right. I get kind of apathetic about it sometimes. You know what I mean? I have my own people that I watch, my own people that I trust. I agree with everything 100% everyone says. No, I mean, I don't expect you to do the same. You know, we all have our own different opinions on things, but there are people who aren't afraid to speak the truth. There's people who aren't afraid to actually do the research and dig in and try to figure out what's going on. And those people tend to eventually figure things out. And the rest of the people, again, they're either willfully ignorant and don't want to do research, or they're paid, or they're operatives, right. you know? And I hate to be as cut as dry as that is, but it is what it is, you know? So, I mean, it's a difficult landscape out there. The truth movement isn't what it was 10 years ago, let alone 5 years ago. Let alone 20 years ago. You know, I mean, it's always been somewhat controlled. When you mentioned the John Birch Society earlier, I mean, Robert Welch started the John Birch Society from selling his candy company in Winston-Salem to Rockefeller. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it was controlled from the very beginning. It was the same with Roy Cohn and Joseph McCarthy going after it was a limited hangout. Like, you know, going after communism, it's the same with the Anti-Communist League. It's all this false Hegelian dialectic of problem-reaction-solution right. to get people to think they're doing something about it, but really they're not doing anything because they're all the same team. You know, whether it's in-your-face communism or behind-your-back Fabian socialism, that's what their end goal is. That's what they want. It doesn't matter whom they are. So you know, it's very hard for people to accept that, Mr. Bork. I'm not going to say it was easy for me. It was hard for me too. I can't kick it and screaming, but I figured it out. And it's true. You know, I mean, I hate to break it to people, but Trump, you know, I think Trump probably just does what he's told, and he's a little arrogant. He's a businessman, you know, but to think that Trump knows as much of what's going on or has dealt as much in the world order as Obama, that's a little silly. Obama was a little bit, you know, was a lot smarter and a little bit higher up, in my opinion, you know, but the highest one that's been president so far since JFK, in my opinion, is George H.W. Bush. That man mm-hmm. was very high up in the world order and knew how to make power plays and stuff like that and everything. I don't know if you agree with me on that, Mr. Bork, but he was definitely one of the, you know, presidents that was very high up.
Yeah. So, well, he got in with Reagan. Was it you I was talking to the other day about, or someone else? That we thought Reagan, I really forget who I was talking to, but we thought Reagan might have been real, but then, you know, Bush got pushed in there and took over, so to speak.
I thought that was the case too, but I definitely mm-hmm. know that's not now after researching the Cabinet Presidential Policy and Reagan meeting with them and being friends with them and getting his Iran-Contra briefings from, you know, their meetings and stuff like that and everything. So yeah, Reagan was controlled from the start too, like the majority of them all were. There's no outsiders. Even JFK, he was not an outsider either. He wasn't fighting against the deep state. I don't think they assassinated him because of all the mythos. Because, I mean, that's where the truth movement gets their martyr. That's where they get their mythos. You could compare JFK to the mythos around Donald Trump right now, right? But when you mm-hmm. really research it and look into it, that's not the case. So, mm-hmm. you see, I mean, he was still friends with the Dulleses. JFK, when he scattered the CIA, you know, into pieces, 1,000 pieces into the wind, that wasn't destroying it. That was compartmentalization of the CIA. Mm-hmm. And the CIA has been stronger now more than ever. And you can look; the CIA moved to Langley under JFK, and it hasn't, you know, he strengthened it just as much. Like, I hate to break it to people. Everybody looks at JFK as a martyr, but he wasn't. He was a puppet for them and a power player for them, just like they all are. So
yeah, he had a lot of executive orders, too, that spoke to the New World Order takeover, too. Back in the 60s, he signed quite a few. And they still could be implemented today, you know, if they want to start doing things, because they haven't been dismissed. By the way, executive orders are part and parcel to dictatorship. And they really started coming into play after the Civil War. There weren't too many before that. Lincoln really started implementing them. So,
yeah, and JFK also, they always do the Jim Mars, you know, because Jim Mars actually, if you do the research, it was in Josh Reeves' movie, Spellcasters. Jim Mars was very much likely a Scientologist. I respect the man as far as his journalism career, but if he wasn't a Scientologist or a free zoner, he was very friendly with them, all right? And, I mean, he spoke to their human rights, the Scientology Human Rights Council, kind of like their psychiatry. Like, he won an award. Mike Adams won multiple awards for them. Mike Adams, if he's not a free zoner, is a Scientology apologist. And Mars always talked about how JFK was trying to return us from the gold standard. But if you actually read that executive order, that wasn't what any of that was at all. It actually was moving the steps forward for Nixon to take us off of the gold standard.
Right.
And to reverse the JFK started it by reversing the accessibility of the average American citizen to silver. So that's a bunch of mythos crock of crap. So, I mean, I know a lot of people in the, you know, the chat, the audience, you're probably like, what is John talking about? Go read it yourself. Go read it yourself. And you tell me that he did not strengthen the Federal Reserve. All right, because he did. Because if you actually read it, instead of reading that one little excerpt that Jim Mars and them always like to talk about with that executive order, then it's a limited hangout. I don't know what else to say other than that. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. A lot of these things that were told that happened in the truth movement, it's controlled. People parrot. People parrot without actually reading it. You know, I mean, you presented all the information you have right then and there in your book, The Red Amendment, sir. I mean, you have the 14th Amendment in there. It isn't like you hid anything. It isn't like you took out one line,
right?
You know, and was like, okay, well, this is what it means. You know, you got to give context. You got to give the whole thing. You know, you can't just pick and choose like that. And I'm not saying that we don't do that sometimes. We all do. We all fall short. But there are a lot of people who do it quite frequently, and there are many people who try their best to not do it at all. I guess that's right. All I'm trying to say. So
yeah, when I looked at the 14th, I didn't listen to what other people were saying because it didn't make any sense. Thomas Woods Jr. would say, and he still says to this day, that there's parts of the 14th Amendment that aren't used anymore because it had to deal with the soldiers and whatever with the Civil War, and I go, that's ludicrous, because when something's in the Constitution, it works forever. You know, it's perpetual. So that didn't make sense to me. Then I started reading the text of it, and it doesn't mean anything that's on the web or whatever. They, you know, it's disinformation. And like I've said, for years now, they couldn't keep this thing going for 150 years without a bunch of operatives out there and lies. And, you know, people that dismiss things and confuse the issues. Back in the 50s, there was someone that wrote an article. I don't know the gentleman's name, but it appeared in a magazine or something of that sort. And he said, well, the 14th Amendment wasn't ratified. So people are saying that today when they run into it on Facebook or in the movement. And like I said, they're talking about politics now for the most part. But you bring up that and they said, well, it doesn't matter because it's was never ratified. Well, the thing is, they use it. So there's got to be a reason, which I explained in my book how it works. That's why they need everyone voting, because each person that votes is ratifying it individually. And of course, everything else other than that is legal fictions or participation in the system. So you're taking benefits from the system and you're ratifying it yourself. So that's how it operates. But they don't talk about that. No, no one talks about that.
So I brought it up. You're right, sir. It's Executive Order 11,110. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. JFK signed it on June 4th, 1963. And what it did, and you can read it yourself, was to allow the Secretary of Treasury to issue civil certificates so that Kennedy wanted to eliminate silver certificates and instead use Federal Reserve notes. So they wanted you not be able to exchange your silver, your dollar as silver. Okay? That strengthens the Federal Reserve. That doesn't destroy the Federal Reserve. That sets it up for Nixon to abolish the gold standard and for the Hunts to corner the silver market later. All right? So JFK was not our guy. He set up that to happen. You can go read the text of the executive order yourself. It's all there. So, you know, people have been lied to by Jim Mars and Richard Belzer saying, well, this is one of the reasons why Kennedy was killed, because Kennedy wanted to abolish the Federal Reserve. No, he didn't. He started the ball rolling for them to not be able to exchange their currency for gold and silver. All right. And I'm not saying that the gold standard is some perfect model either, but it's heck of a lot better than what we have now. So that's right. All.
That's interesting. I do have a $5 bill that Kennedy released that says United States note on it instead of Federal Reserve note. Mm-hmm. But it still says note, and that ties back to Title 12 U.S. Code, Section 411. Talks about the Federal Reserve notes. It says Federal Reserve notes to be issued at the discretion of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank for the purpose of making advances to Federal Reserve banks through the Federal Reserve agents as hereinafter set forth and no other purpose are authorized. The said notes shall be obligations of the United States and shall be received by all national banks and member banks and Federal Reserve banks for all taxes, customs, and other public dues. They shall be redeemed in lawful money on demand of the Treasury Department of the United States in the City of Washington, District of Columbia, or at any Federal Reserve Bank. So right there, they're telling you two things very important, that they represent obligations of the United States. That means debt of the United States. So all these Federal Reserve notes that Trump's sending out for free and all this, it's debt. So
yes.
People are going to have to pay for it in the future. Your children, my niece, all these people that think they're getting free money, it's not. It's debt. And it says you should be able to redeem it in lawful money, which would be gold-backed or gold itself, because that's what the Constitution states. But that's impossible these days. This is... this is old. This is from, it started in 1913 when this started, this legislation. So Federal Reserve notes have, the income tax was put in place in 1913. I'm sorry. The 16th Amendment was put in place in 1913. So all these, this debt has been fabricated under the 14th Amendment. The income tax amendment is part and parcel of the Communist Manifesto. So, that's just one of the planks that was installed that I mentioned earlier. But people don't understand that they're in bondage through this banking system.
No.
They're slaves.
Yes, and they don't understand that. Just like what they say with Trump now, just like that executive order took the power for the president to be able to issue silver certificates or to issue, later as far as currency is concerned, to give that duty to the Secretary of Treasury, which why would anybody trust any, if JFK was really our guy, why would he delegate his duty as president to the Secretary of Treasury? That's very interesting. But Trump did it too during the pandemic with giving the ability to regulate government bonds in the bond market to BlackRock. So, you know, everybody's saying, well, Trump's going to tear down the Federal Reserve and Trump's doing this to save us and doing this. No, it's not. The Federal Reserve has more power now more than ever. I mean, they're printing ungodly amounts of money. BlackRock and all their cronies now have control of the bond market through the federal government. So it's no different. It's no better. These people that build up these presidents as heroes and have these mythos behind them, they really need to read these things for themselves. Don't take my word for it. Go read, you know, all the information about the Federal Reserve and Kennedy and executive order 11,110, and go read it for yourself and read all the information about what Trump's doing with the Federal Reserve and Mnuchin and BlackRock and the bond markets. Go read that for yourself. Don't take my word for it. All right. Mm-hmm. That's what most people need to be doing, is they need to be reading these things for themselves. All right. And most people don't. They just sit up here and they want people to parrot information to them, and they don't want to have any discernment or look up things in their own right and research in their own right. And I think that's one of the main problems with the truth movement today, Mr. Bort, is that exact thing. So
exactly. You know, it's funny that we talk about this, and the ones that are promoting just print more money and, you know, give it away free are the Democrats or the liberals. And that's why I say that they're useful idiots for the Republicans, who were the original ones to start the system back in, the Civil War period. The radical Republicans put all this in place. And they're just using the Democrats for Marxism to expand it and, do the good cop, bad cop thing. That's what's unfortunately unknown or unseen by most people. So
people can't realize that, can they, sir? They can't look at that and realize that, you know, they're like, I like turning into Tucker Carlson, and he says things and tickles my ear, you know, but he's working for these same people. Tucker, you know, said he still believes that 9/11 was not an inside job. He still pushes the Saudi Arabian hijackers. I mean, come on, people, wake up. None of these people are for us, especially if you have a high-paying job on Fox News. What? Because occasionally Tucker throws you a bone and dog whistles at you. And, oh, no, he might name the real people in power this week. Oh, no. You know, it's just, come on.
Yeah, it's pretty deep. Talking about deep, the deep state is just another Hegelian dialectic thing. As I said, the deep state is not the shadow government, and the deep state was just put out there to sidetrack people with Trump. Don't you agree with that? Because there was no deep state until Trump came into existence. Yeah.
Yes. Now you can talk about the deep state all the time you want to, because Trump's in power and that side's in power. But beforehand, if you and I talked about the deep state 10 years ago, people would look at us funny and cock an eye. You know, like, imagine you got on a broadcast and you were like, hey, it's a deep state. You know, they'd be like, what are you talking about? And now it's become common lexicon. I wonder why, Mr. Bork.
Yeah, my point, there was no deep state 10 years ago. I don't think. It was called shadow government. I don't remember deep state coming in to play until, you know, Trump was put in office.
You're talking about the lexicon, though, but the actual...
Right.
You know, shadow government. Yes, you're right about that.
Well, shadow government is the government behind the government. The deep state, to me, is maybe treasonous people that are bad actors and whatever, you know. I made reference to something that Webster said, Daniel Webster. He said something that was promising back in the 1850s. He died first. He was one of the radical Republicans. And he was doing the same thing that they're doing now with the deep state, because he didn't call it that, of course. He said something to the effect that if it was like what do magicians do? They do sleight of hand and stuff. He was saying if something happens to the United States, it's going to happen from people – that run the government. It's not going to be people that are outside the United States, which is totally false because the United States is controlled by people outside the United States. So what he was doing is misdirecting people to say, oh, okay, we're going to be blaming certain actors in the government. And that's what they're doing with these deep state people. Oh, it's these guys.
Yes, certain
guys.
It's these guys and these guys only and no one
right.
else. That's complete bullshit.
Yeah, let's drain the swamp. No, it's they're trying to cover up that the United States is run from foreign powers is what they're doing with that. And that's what Daniel Webster was doing.
Let's throw out Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, but you know, the other people that were involved in that nexus, whether it's Vladislav Doronin or Naomi Campbell or Lex Wexner or Donald Trump or Prince Andrew and many people that I'm forgetting to name, and I apologize for that. Let's not go after all of them. This is the same thing that happened during the Franklin scandal when they threw us Lawrence E. King and he ended up only going to jail for fraud. He didn't even go to jail for the Brownstone operation that he was running for. And look who still stayed and remained in power. George H.W. Bush, Ronald Wilson, Reagan. Nothing happened to them at all. And they were definitely involved in it. Many people within that administration, too, as well, like Dick Thornburg, the former attorney general. Jack Kemp. They were all involved in that Franklin scandal, and it parallels exactly what's going on with Epstein to this day. But did anything happen? Nah, Lawrence E. King just went to jail for fraud. And the wheels keep turning. So it's the same thing with Epstein and Maxwell. I hate to say that maybe I'm blackpilled on it, sir, but I just don't see anything major coming out of this. Hopefully I'm wrong. We'll see. But there are a lot of other people involved in that nexus, and there was a lot of things going on outside of Epstein's island down there in Little St. James and the Lolita Express. You had the New York mansion, Lex Wexner mansion. You had the estate that was out there in New Mexico. Epstein owned more than the Lolita Express. He owned at least two, possibly three planes, helicopter. There's trafficking going on in Europe. This is more deep than most people even talk about. And the reason why they don't talk about it, that they limited hangout you, is because Donald Trump is just as deep in this, if not more, than Bill Clinton.
Right. So. It's all said. Well, we got another break, John. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork. This is Revolution Radio. We'll be back after these station announcements. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look. It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's L.B. Bork. Have with me today John Breeson of We've Read the Documents. I really appreciate John for showing up today. Seems like a lot of people are giving up on things. I've talked to several folks across the United States, and they've pretty much given up on things and are just hunkering down now. But not People's Awareness Coalition, and John's behind me on this. We're going to go forward with a new program. Right, John?
I'm not giving up. I'm not
we're not giving up.
The fight until I draw my last breath. God takes me.
Yep, me too. I've been in this too long to give up. It's the people that give up that cause the death and destruction that these people are going to initiate. Like I said recently in my latest write-up about my book, I go, the people in control can kill and deceive. All we have is the truth. And unfortunately, most people don't like the truth. It pisses them off or whatever the case may be. And that's where all the problems arise. And, you know, it's if you read the People's Awareness Coalition mission statement, which is 22 years old now, you can tell in there that we're here to educate people. And hopefully they want to follow the law. I know the rule of law has been commandeered, as you say, but it's been – well, it's commandeered a long time ago. But there's a maxim of laws that goes, the law sometimes sleeps but never dies. What they've done is twisted it with their Marxist legal system the last 150 years. And they've twisted the rules of law and covered them up. One of the main things that I discovered about Marxism or communism out of the Communist Manifesto was the destruction of countries and nationalities. And they... That basically equates into what you've heard, John, or people out there, of being anything about sorry, I got distracted. In regard to a borderless world, so my whole thing is people of America taking their nationalities back. And if you follow the 14th Amendment law, you'll find that they've done away with countries and nationalities. There are 50 of them under the 14th Amendment. And, you know, and people don't push back. We have some of our people pushing back in court right now, and we had a court reporter go in and take care of someone's case this week. And the court reporter that the person hired said, I'm surprised you didn't get thrown in jail for contempt, because she's worked with this judge before. And, well, we're turning him into the Judicial Commission and going after his bar license for not obeying the law is what boils down there, while everyone else is watching what these communists and Black Lives Matter take America away from us. So, you know, we're fighting back, and these other people are just letting it happen. It's very pathetic that what's going on. No one's really doing anything. They just listen to talk radio and get as much information as they can, but they don't do anything with it that I've seen. So it's very disturbing. Anyway, where do you want to pick this up hour? This hour up at, John?
I guess just to finish what you were saying, Mr. Bork, real quick, if you don't mind, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that many people now? You know, they're following the QAnon operation. You know, they're sitting back, they're trusting the plan instead of trusting God's plan for their lives. They're thinking that the deep state is being destroyed by these white hats, including Donald Trump, Michael Flynn, Joseph Dunford, among others. And they think that the republic, that these people are going to give them their republic back. And I can hear to tell you, that's a load of horse crap. All right? It is. I've done numerous shows on it. I will continue to do shows on it. You should put your faith in no man. Trump is no God emperor. Even though you can argue that the leaders are appointed by God to some degree, and even though maybe that's been circumvented since now we quote unquote vote for our leaders, but whatever, it's not like it was during Roman times. But still, nonetheless, it doesn't mean, you know, God put in leaders that were not good people so that judgments would happen to America. And maybe that's what's happening now. The reason why things have gone so much to crap and will continue to go to crap, because we've turned against each other and we've turned away from God. And it's a problem. It really is. I mean, I'm not going to say that we don't I'm not going to say that we do or do not deserve what's going on, but I can tell you that as a nation, we sure have fallen short from where we were initially, from its foundation, the principles that this country had. And yes, I know you and I talked about, Mr. Port, about how, you know, the many of the founding fathers were not Christian; they were deists or Illuminists or Masons. But it's that still that essence of where the United States of America came from, its people, the people that came over here that built this country. Okay. That, you know, that's what the ideals are really supposed to mean and what they're worth fighting for. And as you and I have talked about before, the United States, if you really look at it, and again, if you look at it from the governmental structure with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, it really was one of their first, you know, experiments, major experiments on the world stage, like a grand Illuminati experiment for the new world, the new Atlantis, because it took people who used to live in countries in Europe, you know, like, for example, my last name, Bresson, is French, okay? So my heritage is primarily French. Well, now that's lost because I've been here for, my family's been here for odds 300 or so years. So now I'm an American. And I'm proud to be American, don't get me wrong here, but I've forgotten my European heritage. And I think that's a lot of what the United States was to set up with the United States of America. And you and I have talked about that, is that we as conservatives, we can't be upset at the European Union. Look at the European Union banded together all the European countries, when the United States in and of itself is a union of people with common ideals and goals. And trust me, don't get me wrong, I understand that. But in doing so, we gave up our identity just as much as Europeans are giving up their identity to the European Union now.
Right. Yeah, there's people that don't understand each state as a country, and the United States basically is not their entity, even though they pretend it is. Some profiteers came in and started this thing. I've said before that what really has to happen is the states have to understand their identity first, and that gets back to what I said about the Communist Manifesto, about making people forget about their countries and nationalities so they could go borderless. The borderless world is basically an effort for these people in mercantilism or the elite to get away with, capitalism, or, you know, basically the rule of capitalism. The ones with the most capital win. And they don't need the rule of law anymore. They get to do whatever they want based on force or power of, power of capitalism. And that's fundamentally what the Communist Manifesto is all about. If you look at what Marx said about let the working men of the world unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains. And he was saying that he also said in the Communist Manifesto, the working men have no country. And why is that? You know, they were trying to get men to move around wherever they needed them in their final structure, so they could use them to their best benefit wherever they needed them. That's what that was all about. And then people are experiencing that in the United States right now. You know, they're being moved around. People having to move out of California to Texas because I think it was Rockefeller. I still can't see where Rockefeller said this in the early 1970s, that the United States was scheduled for having some agriculture and technology in the New World Order. So they were going to do away with everything. And what I believe they moved all these Mexicans into California for is to be slave labor. They, of course, they're paid, so they don't look like slaves according to most people. But cheap labor for the corporate farms in California. And if you talk to anyone since the 1950s or 60s, a lot of the family farms are being put out of business there. Not that they didn't do a lot of that in the late 1800s. A lot of the farms were put out of business in the South, and they had to move into the cities by 1918, I think it was, when they had the first influx of people coming in off their farms because they went bankrupt, because the bankers put them in debt and mortgaged their farms and they lost them. So this is all part and parcel of consolidation of wealth. That's all the New World Order is about, and enslaving the world so they work for the elite, or the synagogue of Satan is the final resting place for all this. But people don't even understand that these so-called useful idiots are going to be put aside eventually if they don't stop this. I'm sure you've run into some of that. Still there, John?
Yeah, Mr. Bork.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, go ahead.
The thing is they're trying. Most people. I fell for this, too, throughout my whole life is they don't really, when you listen to people talk about the founding fathers, and that's why I appreciate your work and Mike Gaddy's work so much, because you guys actually read from them or read their sayings or what they actually said, and most people, when they turn into what they get, even myself, this is what I learned of the founding of America. I learned through what I was taught in school. And I was learned by what Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity told me,
Yeah.
And there's a lot of flaws in that, There's a lot of flaws in both. But the way you can look at it in both the school giving you the Marxist way of looking at the founding of this country, and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity giving the limited hangout conservative way of how this country was founded, it becomes. I'm not saying that, look, I'm proud to be American. I'm proud of the American people and the ideals of which they hold. And I'm a patriot for my country, and I will fight for the people of my country, for my country and my family and my community. Now, I'm not going to go fight in some, foreign war at the behest of the government, at the behest of the beast system. But I do respect those in the military who do chose to serve. Okay. Just like, but the thing is, we're so divided right now that I don't know if people can realize a lot of the truths of what we're speaking to now and dare to think out loud in today's show, Mr. Borker, the truth that you're trying to get across in these roundtables, or the truth on your show, The Remedy, or anything that, you know, I'm putting out, because we're so divided that any time anybody tries to say, hey, look, maybe, you know, the world order has been against us, you know, at the, you know, like forever a day, you know, that people get so upset because they build these sacred cows and these idols out of peoples. You know, people idolize the founding fathers of our country, and they were human beings. Many of them were very flawed. There were some that probably were better examples of others of who we should strive to be, like Patrick Henry, for example. But a lot of them were also working for agents to divide this country, and many of them were Illuminists and Masons. And it's very hard for people to get, because we've been brainwashed, we've been indoctrinated, even in the truth movement. You know, 1776 will commence again. Do we want it to? Because it was a controlled revolution from the very beginning, you know? So they're trying to push this whole second American revolution. You and I both know that revolutions are usually started by them, are co-opted by them, and in the end, it gets them exactly what they want, which is more consolidation of power.
Yes. I believe that revolutions are always have an agenda. That term didn't show up until the mid-1700s, and it was by the French. The French designed the term revolution. And the revolt is probably more apt to something that would happen naturally, but I believe all revolutions are orchestrated under the Hegelian dialectic to achieve a different, not a different, but a different government, or advance or progress the government into world communism. Of course, by the communism wasn't designed until the 1850s, but their purpose was the same, totalitarian socialism, or control of people, and you know, being able to guide them in a certain direction. And the Industrial Revolution was even planned. It was so they could make more profits off materialism, things that weren't totally necessary in life. And that goes back through Marx.
And in every revolution, you do have honest, true-believing people who think that they're trying to do what's right, but they're very rare. A majority of those people are operatives or being pushed or controlled by the world order, or if you want to get spiritually, by Satan. So, right. I mean, it is what it is, and it's a very difficult the rulers of this country have always wanted us to be divided. The American people themselves, they came to survive, to build up communities, to help one another, to have families. Europe used to be like that. They pushed us to rugged individualism. Now, I'm not espousing communism and we go to that either. I'm more spouting localism, which I think you would agree with me on.
Right.
We should go back to families, your community, the town that you live in, making it a better place, working together, you know, being alert of what's going on. That's what it needs to return back to, because we used to be that. Europe was like that. But they changed America into this hyper radical individualism, and then it's that false dialectic, Mr. Bork. You're either a hyper focused radical individualist that loves free capitalism, or you are a complete Marxist communist, you know, that just wants what's best for the government. Or I guess you could say there's a third one where you're an anarchist, but even then I could say that could play to either one. instead of, you know, being like you and I, where, yes, you want to be individual, that you want to be your own person, your own man or woman, but you also want to care for your local community,
right,
and for your local family and everything like that. You don't want to only care about yourself. Because if you only care about yourself, only, or if you only care about the cause or the government or whatever, it has to be somewhere in the middle, I guess is what I'm saying. I think you'd agree with me on that, Mr. Bork.
Yeah, there's a balance. It was Ayn Rand and Ayn Rand that basically built the selfish individual.
Yes, hyper-individualism. Hyper-individualism came from – definitely was pushed forward greatly by libertarianism, which was, you know, was a false dialectic, and Ayn Rand too as well, that was pushed forward, that, you know, capitalism is good, greed is good, being only for oneself is good, and that can lead to a destruction of society just as much as you sacrifice everything for the whole too as well that you see in communism. You know, both of those can be tools to destroy a society very quickly.
Right. And that's what I saw when I started looking at these things, about the greed that was involved. There was a guy named Edney that wrote a piece called Greed, Julian Edney. And, you know, some called him a socialist. And I go, no, he's not. He's about community and what's right and greed being a problem. And a lot of people have, you know, hooked onto that. And when you see people like CBS or establishments like or corporations like CBS pushing Ayn Rand, that tells you something's wrong right there. And she appeared on CBS in 59.
They should be against Ayn Rand, you know, like you would think they would be, right? But no, they push her just as much as the conservatives. Right. Sure, it's hilarious.
And like I said earlier, the rule of capitalism, the people with the most capitalism win. There's no chance of a small businessman being greedy and winning against these people.
Not in a corporatocracy, no. You have that now.
Right. And I know some people disagree with me on this, but
government. I don't disagree with you. You're right on that.
I know. There's some that disagree with me that there is a need for state governments, at least, to limit what these capitalists can do, because you know, if you don't have regulations against corporations or
they'll
people, they're going to eventually own everything, and that's what's happened
that's what's
with this
now.
System. That's what's happened now, right? And the corporations are allowed to do that, and that's another thing that people don't understand, that the 14th Amendment allowed them to flourish. And gave them extraordinary powers because of the way the legal system set up under the 14th Amendment. And the same thing happened in the Roman Empire. I found out after I read a book called The Institutes of Roman Law, and it was written by a German law professor back in the late 1800s. And he said that the Roman Republic was fine under the law of persons, and then they incorporated corporations into the law of persons, and then the Roman Empire took effect and eventually failed because of the greed factor, and people were left out in the cold, and they did the exact same thing with the 14th Amendment. But the United States itself was always built upon, as Mike Gaddy has talked about, it's always been an empire, and it just went into high gear under the 14th Amendment. They didn't have all the tools necessary to do what they did, and that's caused all this last 150 years to have these people under Congress. Congress are the real criminals in all this, because a corporation can be told what to do. It can have limitations put on it where people can't put on it. And this gets me to the next question, and we're almost at break here, but I wanted to go into the CDC, National, help me out here. Because you've researched this, Council on National Policy.
Council for National Policy, CNP.
For now, yeah, okay. Mitt Romney, for example, said corporations are people too, and that just fits right into this whole thing. And I appreciate what you've researched on these so-called conservatives. They're nothing but these power greedy, power hungry, greedy assholes. Excuse my French. That are creating these problems, and that's why I say the liberals are just useful idiots for these people. And they're creating all these problems, but they're when the dust clears, they're going to be in control.
But the conservatives are too. I mean, everybody was so happy that Trump was going to get to pick conservative judges and put on the Supreme Court. Well, how is Brett Kavanaugh, who covered up the Vince Foster murder for the Clintons, and Neil Gorsuch doing? Okay, because guess what? If you've really been paying attention to the Supreme Court rulings, there are many ones in which Kavanaugh and Gorsuch should have ruled as conservatives, especially the abortion issue that was happening down there in Louisiana, that they ruled against what Kavanaugh did. And so, yeah, if you think that these Heritage Foundation, which has its own ties to Council for National Policy but was before the CNP, you think that, you know, these are Heritage Foundation picked judges and they're going to rule conservative, you know, they're going to rule, you know, what you think and you would hope that they would. Because me as a conservative Christian, yeah, them ruling against the abortion is what I would want them to do, to strike a blow against the beast system. However, that didn't happen because they're bought and controlled and paid just like all the rest of them. You're being sold a fake bill of goods and bullcrap lies, people, on both sides. Even to the progressive people, you're getting sold a bill of goods to. All right, I just happen to be conservative, and a lot of my positions and my beliefs as a conservative Christian, so I rail against the CNP because they stand out there and they say, "Well, they represent. I represent you, John." You know, but if you look at what they stand for, they stand for a strong national defense, which means more foreign wars. This is a coded term for more wars.
Right.
Neo-Christian values and free trade. That is on their tenant platforms. And all of those are coded languages for things that they don't mean. All right? So it is what it is. Mitt Romney was a CNP member, and he spoke to the CNP before he ran for – before they gave him the go-ahead to run for president. It's like every conservative has since its inception in the 1980s. Since the CNP was founded, it's like you have all the left-wing people meeting with the CFR. Remember when Obama and Hillary Clinton met with the CFR emergency meeting, and then Obama ran for president and Hillary Clinton stepped down and was made I'm drawing a break of what she was. Give me a minute. Secretary of State. Every president, including Donald Trump, they released all the speeches of Republican candidates that were running for president to the CMP, except for Donald Trump's. I have no idea what Donald Trump said to the Council for National Policy when he spoke to them before they got behind him in 2016, because they had originally backed Ted.
Hey, we got another break, John, the last one of today's program. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back after these station announcements. Stay tuned for segment 4.
At Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is the last segment of today's Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is July 17th in the year 2020. Can't believe what a crappy year this has been. I knew what's going on right now was going to happen, thanks to people like Jack McLam back in the early 1990s, spreading some information out. I took what he taught me and went another another degree with it, or maybe more degrees, because what he taught and others were teaching was kind of sketchy, and I don't understand why more people didn't find out about it earlier, but it takes deep research. I suppose the internet helped me a little bit, but most of my research and my understanding was done by just reading the law dictionaries and reading the U.S. code to see what these people are up to. And it's kind of good to read what they've written, because that's why I appreciate John so much. And of course, Mike Gaddy too. He goes into source documents, and John has his YouTube station, or channel as they call them, rather, and it's called We've Read the Documents, and that just says it all. So, John, why don't you tell the folks about your station or channel a bit?
Yeah,
tell us about that.
I've had you on quite a few times, sir. Going to have you on more again. A lot of people love your point of view, what you break down. Jimmy Jean, another friend of mine who's on Revolution Radio, he's been on quite a few times as well, Epic Journeyman.
Yeah.
I break down the CMP, a lot of the Council for National Policy, the right-wing part of the world order, at least because they're in power right now. When it swings back and we get a liberal president, the CFR side, I'm going to be covering that. You know, I just cover whomever is in power at the time. We break down a lot about the disproving the witch hunt narrative, talking about how Vic Martin and the Franklin scandal and Epstein and all that trafficking of how that's real. And it's can be provable through testimony and news articles and different government documents and everything. Just tried to break down current events and news as through the lens of truth the best that we can, sir. And right now I'm reading through Alan Dershowitz's book Live, about him being falsely accused, guilty by accusation. And of course it's a load of horse crap. And I'm breaking
well,
it down.
Well, you know, he's a synagogue of Satan member. So you can't trust him right up.
Yeah, there. Alan Dershowitz is one of the worst. Yeah. But I'm reading it just because it's. I did learn. I forgot what I learned. There was something that he said that even I didn't know about that whole nexus. Like, I actually got to go back and look at that. I wish I could recite it now. There's something he said that even I was like, wow. And sometimes you read their works, so they'll give you one or two nuggets that you didn't know previously beforehand that are really big game changers. You know.
Yes.
And to go back to Jack McLam, and I'll send you a video. He admitted on Council for National Policy member James Dobson's radio show that he was also a long term member of the Council for National Policy. So
yes,
thought you might want to know.
Do you think there's something behind that, or do you think?
I think he was ignorant.
He was ignorant. You know, let's just say it that way.
Well, I mean, like you said later, it kind of got sketchy. It's like, remember Bobo Greitz?
Oh, Bobo, yeah. Bobo Greitz, yeah. It was a big circus back in the 90s. And that, to be honest, that's why I broke off and did my own research. Because, you know, even though Jack's work pointed me in a direction, there really was no remedy. And another thing is, I don't know, I'd like to trust the man. You know, God bless him.
No, see, it was like Alex Jones pointed me in the right direction, right? You know?
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they aren't stages to this, and doesn't mean that some of these people are limited hangouts with the information that they're going to give you. You know, right. I'm not trying to cast shade on all everything Jack McLam. Just because someone's part of the CMP doesn't mean that everything they have ever said is incorrect. It just means that you have to look at it through more of a raised eyebrow.
Right.
And realize why they aren't telling you certain things that they should tell you. It's like Alex Jones, you know, he speaks a lot of truth, but he also doesn't talk about a lot of things that are connected to this side of the world order because he's an operative for them. So there's people in the CMP that just think that they're good conservatives and they're Christians and they're trying to do what's right. It's compartmentalized like any organization, just like the Council on Foreign Relations is, just like the Bilderberg Group is. You definitely have more people at the top that definitely know what's going on within the CMP. I would say like the DeVos family and Eric Prince and Morton C. Blackwell and John Kenneth Blackwell and Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch and the Mercers. The ultra-Zionist immersers who back Bannon, and Steve Bannon's also a member of the Council for National Policy. So these people, yes, by all means, I think they're heavy hitters and power players within the CMP. But Mike Lindell, the guy that sells My Pillow that goes to speak to the CMP, he probably just does what he was told. That's why after his speech about making masks for people, you know, using his cotton, he had the coupon code Q to save money on My Pillows afterwards. He's probably told to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe he's a true believer in the QAnon. He thinks Trump's fine. You know, I don't think he's someone who's extremely nefarious in the CMP. But I do think people like Phyllis Schlafly, America's grandma, who's going to Craig J. Spence brownstone parties and was good friends with Craig J. Spence during the whole Franklin scandal doing – you know, he was running a brownstone operation just like – Epstein was doing at his Lex Wexner's New York mansion, filming people and stuff like that. Craig J. Spence was. So what was America's grandmother, Phyllis Schlafly, you know, going to all those parties all the time? You know, what was up with that? You know, so those people, you know, all those blue bloods that are in the CMP. Oliver North was the CMP. He was actually trying to get money from CMP members. It was paid money by CMP members during Iran-Contra to circumvent the Boland Amendment. There's people in the CMP that pull the strings in power and really know, and there's people in the CMP who just thinks it's a Christian conservative organization and they're fighting for them. It's called compartmentalization. You know?
Right.
It's like you have people in the CFR who are the power players, and you have people in the CFR who are just progressives who just think that globalism is a good idea. Now, you and I would disagree with that, but you know, it's, you have true believers on that side too as well. And sometimes true believers are the power, you know, people in power that are pulling the strings, and sometimes true believers are the ones who are just being duped. Who knows?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like we discussed this program, and as Mike knows and I know, and I learned early on when I started reading the Federalist Papers and how these people were manipulating people into thinking a certain way, I determined that the capitalist or someone that's in business, and this even goes to the guy that wrote The Law, Bastiat. I got a paper that I wrote called The Merchants, or Beware the Merchants. I think
yes, I've read it.
Yeah, he's the only guy that wasn't of the synagogue of Satan in there. And he did not understand that socialism was the base for making more money. The only thing he saw is his money being taken for socialist programs in the state. But mercantilism is the basis for the New World Order. And what he didn't like is his family was rich, but they weren't that synagogue of Satan affiliation. But, I said in the short paper I wrote on him, I don't know, did you read that one? A guy that didn't know the law?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, a guy that didn't know the law. You know, he was upset about the tariffs and things that were controlling his family's mercantile business or his profits. So he didn't understand that socialism was the base for that. It's the only difference I saw. He was kind of an outsider, so to speak. And even though, these people like Ron Paul and the Mises Institute praise his work, but the only reason they do is because he wants to do away with tariff law. And I've heard that come out of Trump's mouth, you know, about 2 years ago. You're saying, well, these tariffs that I'm adjusting right now are eventually going to go away. We're not going to have any tariffs. They're just to make things work at this point. So that fits right in line to what I've discovered about these capitalists or these elitists doing things. They don't want to pay their operating expenses under international law. And that's why I say we need to get back to the law and make sure that these things are enforced, because if people don't learn the law and understand what's going on, they're going to be slaves to these people. You know, they're going to pay so many their taxes, their operating expenses is what's going on now. And as everyone knows, if they've done any research, they can look at the Grace Commission's finding and then determine that all income taxes paying the principal, or not the principal, but the interest on the principal of the federal debt. So all this taxes that are going away on wages, you're paying for these free checks you're getting. And it's going to get worse. And once these guys do away with tariffs, you're going to be paying for that too. That's the New World Order in a nutshell. Or world communism, as I call it, because that's what they call it.
And you and I, Mr. Burke, have done a show on my channel about how they could do away with the income tax or just go back to tariffs. I mean, that's how things
are. Oh, they could, but that's not going to happen because.
Oh, no, because it would decentralize their system, you know, but they won't do that. So instead, we're stuck with both. Now, I'm fine with Trump levying tariffs. However, you got to do away with the income tax. You can't do both because then I'm getting taxed, you know, harder another way with me purchasing goods. You know, right. You got to choose one or the other. Now, I prefer tariffs because that's how this country was set up, and it's what makes the most sense to me. You shouldn't be paying taxes on the money you make. You should be paying taxes on what you buy, right. In my opinion.
Right.
But you know, that's look, if the state and the government and the state and the local, they want to, instead of charging property tax, they want to charge. Now, I can argue. You maybe won't want to pay taxes or high taxes on food or necessity goods, you know, but like electronics and cars and you know, it's, you know, there should be two forms of revenue generation, in my opinion. put purchase on goods and tariffs. And that's yes. it. No income tax, no property tax.
No property tax, right?
None of that. Those two things I'm fine with. But no. We can't have something as simple as that, Mr. Borg. No, it's got to be extremely complicated and suck the wealth out of everybody who cannot find a way to avoid paying their taxes and overcome their laws. You know, it's bullcrap.
So. Well, that's what Marx saw when he wrote the Communist Manifesto, and he was just a front man. He didn't conceive or design this whole thing. He was just the front man, similar to what George Soros is for the Synagogue of Satan today, causing trouble and whatever. And he saw that, you know, absolute power corrupts absolute. So, you know, I forget who said that. I think it was said about Marxism. Or something during the Civil War. If Mike Gaddy were here, he would know it. But Lord Acton said it, but it was in regard to something that was going on in the 1850s. Marx knew that these people would be corrupt. He called them the ruling class. And that's what one thing I noticed when I read the Communist Manifesto. I go, wait a minute here. The ruling class or the elite aren't a problem. The middle class are? That doesn't make sense to me, you know. So that told me automatically that this new world order under world communism that Marx was pushing was to do two things: create a workforce out of all the people, including the middle class, and destroy the middle class. And that's exactly what's going on. I guess they couldn't quite do it well enough with the manifesto itself, so they had to implement this virus junk to destroy small businesses. Now to get to their new world order by 2020, like that Google Synagogue of Satan member said, I can't think of his name offhand, but he said that in 1999. He said there will be a new world or world government by 2020. And what year is it? It's 2020. Look at all this crap that's going on down right now.
I got breaking news for you, sir.
Yep.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg announces her liver cancer reoccurrence, but she will remain on the Supreme Court as long as she possibly can.
Of course. Synagogue of Satan member.
So I read it. She's got narrow bile ducts. She's got stents put in her bile ducts. She's not doing well. All right. And so my guess is this is going to be another. You know, if something happens to her and she passes away, and I don't wish that upon anyone, if that happens, then that will be – we have to elect Donald Trump now because we get to put a third conservative Supreme Court justice in place.
Yeah, a lot of good like, that does.
Another one to put a knife in our back again. I mean, how many times has John Roberts put a knife in our back? You know, okay, sure, fine, whatever. But people fall for it. You know, it's a freaking clown show, sir. I mean, geez. It is.
Like I've said, you know, they come up with these labels: conservative, liberal, leftist, rightist, whatever. It's all Marxism. It's all the same program. You know, all isms, political isms, are under Marxism or communism. And like I said, I divided the two into two different categories. Marxism to me is anything that's, you know, basically doesn't fall under the planks of the Communist Manifesto. The destruction of countries and nationalities is under communism as far as I'm concerned, because it was directly referenced in the Communist Manifesto as one of their goals, to destroy countries and nationalities. And they've done that under the 14th Amendment. But Marxism to me is cultural Marxism seemed to just crop up, what, 10, 15 years ago? John, do you know when that cropped up?
I mean, I'd say before then.
Before then? But I mean, it's become really popular.
I mean, wasn't it pretty big this is before my time, but back when there was hippies?
Yeah, well, yeah, there was definitely Marxism going on there, the music, and but that was all Hegelian dialectic stuff.
Well, I know a lot of the hippies were true believers and were earnest, and you had a lot of it being controlled by the government. I mean, Laurel Canyon and all Dave McGowan's work, may he rest in peace, mm-hmm. you know? But I mean, has it been going?
That's true. That's true, because like I said, about 50 years ago is when they completed all the planks, for the most part, in American system of government. The governance of America had already applied all the planks. So I guess you could say Marxism is anything to create chaos and destroy the culture. And the actual communist principles are something that controls the economy.
Yeah.
That's why I've divided it up. And that's they're going all balls out right now with their Marxism. And they're using the blacks to, achieve it. And that's one thing Jack McLam said, but Charles Manson was used in one of the, CIA programs to cause those problems too. I don't know. Maybe you know more about that than I do, or someone, maybe Scorpio knows more about that conspiracy than I do. But, that was all planned too. The Manson family, so-called Manson family.
That
started all that time.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it sucks, man. It's been going for a long time, and they figured out that they could achieve their totalitarian system by getting people stuck between communism and Fabian socialism. That push pull of, well, we're going to conserve things, but really we're Fabian socialists, the wolf in sheep's clothing. We'll conserve things and we'll keep things the minimum, right? To fool people who are conservatives, why the world order continues to march on and been marching on it. The conservatives, what did they conserve? That's why I call them the conservatives, because they don't conserve crap.
No, they're not. I don't know. I've asked a few people and they can't answer what a conservative is.
Please tell me what they conserve. I'll wait for people. I'll wait to see how we're any better. Please. I've been waiting for a long time for people to tell me as far as politics are concerned, what the heck the Republican Party and conservatives, what have they conserved? Now it seems to me that they're just cults of progressives, where they act like they're doing me a favor and they're conserving the union. But in reality, they're not even biding time. They're just hiding for it to continue to go on.
Right.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
That's what progressive means, progressing Marxism. Or, this new culture that they created. That's what progress means, or progressive for sure. That's why there's generation gaps, because of Marxism. If we had a proper culture, there would be no generation gap. And it's all based on materialism. As Marx said, there used to be historical materialism, and he said what he was designing is Marxist materialism, which is buying crap you don't need.
Yeah, and I know you and I are, socially conservative, right? Like we're definitely not socially progressive. And there's a lot of things that I believe as far as the culture war is concerned, I believe, probably heavily conservative. But the thing is the conservatives in power, they may talk a game, but when it comes to do anything, and how many times as conservatives and as Republicans, have you been shouting for them to do something against the Democrats and the progressives when they were in power? And how many times did they not do a darn thing? And the wheels keep turning and your freedoms keep getting stripped away, and we're still fighting in foreign wars. Has Obamacare been repealed? No, it's because of those darn progressives and those darn Democrats. That's why it didn't happen. No, it's because the Republicans are bought off and controlled by the World Order II. Come on, you guys. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I figured it out a long time ago. I was into Rush, too, for about 9 months until I figured out he wasn't telling the truth. That was back in the mid-90s when he had his TV show. Yeah, my ex-wife bought me his first book, and I think she probably regrets it. not really. I was on the path anyway, but she was supportive, I guess was what I was saying. But it didn't turn out that she wanted to grow into the knowledge that I was seeking or, you know, experiencing back in the 90s. Wish more people would experience it. They're still putting up with the nonsense. I don't know. What's your opinion or thought on people waking up a little bit more? A
lot. No, of people, they're not. Like that's said, been. No, that's dead. That's been dead. They were around 2014 or 2015. Ever since Trump and Operation QAnon and everything that's been putting forth. No. They killed that. They took half of the. They took the people that were waking up and put them right back in another being blinded by the people who support Trump and the people who support that side of the world order doing whatever the hell they want to do. And yeah, you might have a few people that wake up from that blindness, but they're few and far between. The truth movement, as you and I have talked about, is dead. It's dead. It's no more. I don't know if it's coming back. I mean, there might be a few people here and there that are the last holds out that'll be trying to spit truth until they die. But for the majority of the people that are in this business, they're just giving you watered down talking points without even researching, or they're being told or paid what to say. And it's sad. But then again, when you look back in history, it's always been that way too. So.
Well, that's good to know, because we're, like I said earlier, we're coming up with something different, and hopefully people join us and, get this law thing going again, like they've destroyed. That's part of what you were just getting at. They destroyed the truth movement, or they took the law movement and made it political and so-called truth. But that, like you said, is totally gone and destroyed. So we got to rebirth it. And I know you have to get going, John. I really want to thank you for joining me today. It seems like other people are a bit preoccupied with other things these days. But hopefully we can get this going again and talk about more things as we did today instead of more productive things.
And everybody out there, you know, one last thing, and thank you for having me on Dare to Think Out Loud, Mr. Bork.
You bet.
Is that spend time with your families, try to, you know, get to know your neighbors, build up your communities, and if you want to fight against the world order structure, that's one of the main ways that you can do that. So many people fail to do, you know, instead of listening to us, you know, if you listen to me less, if my viewership goes down, or because you're actually out there, you know, trying to make your area and the people around you better and yourself a better place, then I'm fine with that, because that's the only way that we're going to overcome this or survive this is working towards that goal. So. Yeah.
And with that, thanks again. And I know you got to go, so thank I'll finish Mark. This up in the next minute or two. Thanks, John. Talk to you soon. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. I want you to stay tuned for what's up next on Revolution Radio, and stay tuned for what People's Awareness Coalition has going. We're going to get things rolling again with the truth movement, and hopefully you'll join us. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.